Rooted in Revenue with your host today, Susan Finch. Hey everybody, Susan Finch here, your host today for Rooted in Revenue. And until Lainey Sullivan gets back here, I'm always your host for Rooted in Revenue. Today though, I'm really happy. I always say, I'm so excited. I'm super happy and charged up for my guest, Debbie Davis. She's the owner and operator of 3D Communications, and her joy comes from analyzing every process for its potential to shape systems, and then she implements those systems to drive processes. Let me just say, she's obsessed with productivity, systems, and processes, and turning ideas into action. We've been friends since 2011, and to have her here, it's the first time I've had her as a guest. That makes absolutely no sense, but we used to do a lot of shows and things together. So today I am taking the host seat, and Debbie is my guest. Debbie, welcome.
Thank you, Susan. This is so much fun after so many years of, you know, just sort of hanging out, speaking of Google Hangouts way back then.
Yeah.
This is great. And I'm, I am ready to go.
Well, we're doing a series together. I mean, you and I have talked about this and wanted to do it for a while because I've always enjoyed your movie, Big Brain, and how you are able to sift through clutter and options and things and hone it into a true plan. So what more fitting title to start with than Frame, Focus, Follow Through? And that's what we're going to be talking about in this, in our 3 or 4 part series. We don't know yet. We know for sure it's 3 parts. So what do you think about that, Debbie? Should we just go on and do it?
I say let's just do it. You know what? You and I are both veterans in this, you know, industry. I can talk about lots of subjects for a long time, and I am going to use my best communication skills to keep it concise.
Tell me, Debbie, what does Frame, Focus, and Follow Through mean to you as it applies to the work you do for your clients?
It is Frame, Focus, and Follow Through just kept coming out of my mouth when I would talk to somebody who would come to me for any kind of business issue. Where do we start? And I would say, let's frame it, focus on it, and then follow through. And it started just rolling off my tongue. It's simply a model. It's nothing profound or brand new. It's nothing that I came up with. It's having a plan and then implementing the plan to the point where you can actually just keep extending it into follow through. Maybe you want to build on that later, or you want to use it as a model for another initiative down the road. But Frame, Focus, Follow Through was a quick way for me to stop and consider what steps need to be taken to achieve whatever this use case or business problem that's being presented requires in order to actually see something happen.
What I see in companies, you know, the term fractional whatever is very popular right now. And it makes sense. I mean, it actually says, you know, you don't need somebody full time, but you need somebody fractional. The most successful people in those positions, and I put you in that fractional operations manager, you know, or full time, but I've seen you slip into those roles for companies, sometimes just to help them get out of their mess until they can have something in place. The piece that I think when there is a miss in that is when people come into the position and rush to change things rather than sitting and sifting through what is in place, what's been working, what isn't, what are you hoping for? And I think that's where your Frame piece comes from.
You are spot on. It is all about, you know, putting together a strategy. When I first started working in consulting, the first thing I would ask is, what is your objective? And that...
What if they don't know? Because a lot of them don't.
Well...
Or 5 people have 5 different objectives.
Honestly, Susan, that's why I asked the question. Yeah. Because I don't want to come in and tell them, you don't know what you're doing. I want them to hear their own voice of reason. So I ask them the question, what is your objective? And when they come back with, I don't know, that's great because then I can dig in. When they come back with something really lame, like, I just want to make money, then I'm like, don't we all? But it's a great starting point. And that really is the whole reason you want to have a frame. After that first question, what is your objective? I follow it by the other, you know, 6 W's, who, what, where, when, why. Yeah. I call it the 20 questions because that's what happens. But in that conversation, these people will be able to hear their own voice of reason, and we may have started the conversation with, I don't know what my objective is, but we will end up with a frame. This is who you want to have involved. This is who you want to impact. This is how much time you have, how many, what's your resources. But it answers a lot of questions, creating a frame. If you have too many questions and too many answers, then you know you need to scale it down. And let's get a little more granular. Let's work on that one specific use case or that particular problem. The whole process of doing framing is to make it manageable and actionable.
I think people need to get comfortable in that sitting, that waiting space. Too many times people are panicked, or when they reach out to somebody like you that needs, that they need, I need help, they're already in a mess, or they're panicked, or they're about to have change in leadership, or just had it. And sometimes it's uncomfortable to just say, we're just going to sit with this for a minute. We're going to really think about that one answer, and why do five of us have five different answers? And how do we listen to each other's answer objectively and respectfully to try and figure out how do we blend it or discard? Or to me, part of your what you do as an I mean, you're an expert at being a mediator. You're a calming force, is what I know about you. You know how to help disarm people and take some of the emotion out of it. Sometimes you need that mediator that can just remove all the emotion and just let's look at the logic.
And when I'm working with someone and we're even at this very first part about the frame, maybe they do want somebody to step in and just tell them what to do and get it done.
They
And that's
might.
just not even feasible. I mean, it's not practical. It's not going to work. In the long run, it's not going to work. They're not going to like my ideas. It's not going to work. I don't know them well enough. But
Right.
you're right. I just keep asking questions. And I use this in my coaching. I ask the questions, you have the answers, and then you hear your own voice of reason. That makes whatever we do put together as a plan so much more palatable for that person who helped build
Right.
the plan. I'm not telling anybody what to do. God knows you don't want that happening. But you want to have your own plan and it's inside you. So creating this frame, asking the questions, what questions do I need to answer in order to create a frame? And then I do help. I hope, add some comfort and stabilization. I add structure to the next steps. And it doesn't have to be a long, if they want to act immediately, within an hour, we can have an action plan put together. That's relatively immediate.
Yes.
Are you going to finish it up? No, it's probably going to take 3 months to get it done,
Yeah.
but it's going to be 3 months of constant or mostly constant forward motion.
Oh, I love that. Wow, that an hour and you can start to make progress. I mean, it might not solve it, but you can make good progress. Has there ever been a situation, though, where you don't really even have an opportunity to plan?
Yeah, that's called an emergency. So then I say, stay calm
Yeah.
and continue observing. However, in most situations, you do have some time to plan. It might not be a lot of time to plan. And this is where frame, focus, and follow through really comes in handy because it's like muscle memory. So you don't have time to plan. I'm in a hurry, Deb. I need you to fix this problem. So you start with your frame, focus. You know you're going to frame, focus, and follow through. You might put the whole plan for framing, focusing, and following through together in 1 hour. That's not a lot of time to plan, but a conversation can go a long way, particularly if you've got somebody who's asking you the right questions. And those questions, again, it's not magic. Who, what, where, when, why, how much, how many? Ask yourself the questions. And if you can't come up with those questions, I'm happy to help. I'll throw a lot of questions at you. And then I'll send you back a quick summary of, okay, this is your frame. Now let's plan the next steps and go.
At the start of COVID, it was something that was finally coming to the forefront that I think every company should have in place. I put it in kind of a crass terms, a hit by a bus plan. And it's written down, and key people know it, and they know what to do with the different elements of my businesses. if something bad happened. So there would not be this panic need. It would be, this is time to implement the action plan for, these are the people we need to talk to, we need to include. And I remember when COVID hit and everybody suddenly is, I'm at home, we're working, we have no security, our stuff, everybody's working from home on personal computers, what do we do? And they realize they don't have those plans in place. And those disaster plans to me are huge. And do you ever work with companies to help them before the emergency happens? What are we going to do if? What would be your plans?
That actually is one of the things that in my coaching training and my coaching experience, whenever possible, spend some time imagining the worst case scenario.
Yep.
And again, that might seem futile because everything's going well. I'm making tons of money. Everybody loves me. Why do I need to dwell on the negative? But in a peer coaching situation, that's always a great conversation to have. What if this wasn't working out so well? Or do you know somebody who this didn't work for, to help them imagine the worst case scenario? Now, in the case of COVID, in the case of the pandemic, I think we were all, what did you say? Hit by a bus, deer in the headlights.
Well, no, but I have a hit by a bus plan. That's what, yes, I call my disaster plan.
Yes.
So if,
yes,
I truly got hit by a bus, might be in a hospital.
Yep.
Worse. Could, yep, be worse.
Yep.
Who would make it smooth for everybody to know what to do for,
right,
each client, for each situation? And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's the other, a few weeks ago when we had no power for a week. And no internet and no heat and everything else. How to communicate to everybody quickly. This is what we're doing. We are adjusting this way. And I know it's hard for people to imagine, but I do think, that's the kind of coaching that I think is invaluable for companies, especially startups, because they are flying high. They're thinking everything's great. They're invincible. And even seasoned people that have crashed and burned a couple of times, still, you get excited, you get caught up in the hype of new and going well, that there's that peace of mind. I don't know about you, but when we set up our personal estate, when we set up our wills and all that kind of stuff, oh, that's so sad to think about that. And the kids were all bummed out. I said, no, but now we have peace of mind.
Peace of mind, the insurance that comes, and we all know how important it is to have insurance.
Yes.
And so it's just sort of a logical, it's something that people do avoid. Again, you can't plan for every single detail, but
no,
if you have a broad plan, like what is going to take care of the security issues, those things at the bottom level of,
right,
the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you have the security part taken care of, and as you plan forward, it's really part of a personality and an operating method. But no professional should get to any elevated rank in their profession without the ability to do that kind of planning at the most basic level. And we'll talk about this in another episode.
Yeah.
It's called searchable, findable, shareable.
Oh, cool. Okay. So there's your hint, guys, for the next one that's coming up in the series.
Yeah, that one's another wonderful mantra of mine. I had the wonderful opportunity when I was working for Fixate. It was a media agency, and I was given the opportunity to work with several interns. And I didn't want to work with interns. I didn't want to have to delegate because I'm not great at that. And I thought, this is going to take more time than. So I started putting together my frame. Okay, who's my interns? What can they do? What do I have that I could delegate? Turned out that my searchable, findable, shareable mantra also came into play in that I made it possible for all the interns to know where I kept all my stuff. And every time we talked about things, I would mention to them, I'm sharing this folder with you. You don't need to go look at it, but know that it's there. I let the owner of the company know, Chris, hey, I've got all of these things organized in my Google Drive, and these are the people who have access to it. I would just mention it. I didn't make big procedures manual,
right,
or anything like that. But if I got hit by a bus,
yep,
I knew that Devin or Spencer or Maya would know, hey, I've got access to this stuff. And they would remind
Right.
Chris, I've got access to this stuff. I can go back and look at these notes. So that would be an example of my
Yeah.
hit by the bus. And I used to say that to Chris all the time. If I get hit by a Mack truck, and he'd say, don't say that. But the fact of the matter is that you do need to think as a professional, you need to have at least a high level plan.
I agree with that, but not everybody always does. So, what happens when you run up against clients that it's not their style, that totally conflicts with their style? But I don't know what their style will be. If that isn't their style, what is their style? Chaos?
Well, yes, and I think that we could probably all think of at least one person in our life that we had to work with, possibly a boss, could have been a subordinate, but whatever, they're creating chaos in your life. I have one instance where I worked for somebody who functioned on impulse and assumption. Every new project was an impulse, and Deb, this is how I want you to carry it out. And then based it on a bunch of assumptions that a lot of times I couldn't even relate to, but it was the boss. So I had to figure out, okay, how do I keep this moving forward without offending or criticizing or judging? Because that was not my position. So yeah, I worked with somebody who was impulsive and I wanted to put order to it. And that again is a great time to take your frame, focus, and follow through. And again, where I used what I call a coach approach, you never ask a question starting with why, because that puts people on the defensive.
Right.
But you ask questions that you don't really know the answer to,
Right.
and then let them explain it. And if their explanation is, well, I don't know how to get that done, that's your opportunity to say, well, here's a plan. And
Yeah.
you can offer it without sounding like you're being insubordinate or sounding like you're usurping their plan. You start with the frame, ask the questions. Our methods of operation are very different. Let me put some order to this, but let me do it in a way that you'll be receptive and that will actually keep this moving forward.
It's interesting what I'm hearing. I know you are a big proponent of AI and generative AI to help lessen your tasks and your workload and to make things streamline and organize stuff. I know that about you. But everything I'm hearing you tell me is contradictory to that. It is the polar opposite. What you are talking about, and I know it as your skill. When companies can get through those situations and come up with their plans, it is about conversation. It is about learning how to communicate with real people, not via email, not via anything else other than phone, video, or in person. So you hear the tones in their voice. You can hear where they're hesitant. So you can understand where they might be getting defensive, as their voice gets more shrill or whatever it is. It's almost like you are a communications coach to first pave the way for that, to allow the logic to come into play for your frame, focus, and follow through. Because until, if they are not listening or open to listening, you're not going to get anywhere with these folks. And it's never going to be scalable either.
And you started this off with you're a huge proponent of AI, and then you compared it with the conflict of human conversation.
Yes.
So here's where the two come together in my
Okay.
mind. I am a huge proponent of AI. I'm also a huge proponent of using it responsibly and prudently. And that's a whole nother podcast, probably. But with AI making us more efficient in those redundant, tedious tasks, it gives us the time, the efficiency gained by not, hey, Susan, I can't talk today because I got to go clean data in my database because I'm trying to get a mass mailing out. Okay, guess what? I'm handing that over to AI now, and then I can sit down and have a conversation with you. And so AI can give us room in our daily lives, our daily work days, to have the conversations and focus on the conversations without the distraction of the stress that I got to go take care of that tedious task. I've got to get that monthly report out. AI is handling that for me. And this might be a little too, optimistic, but my hope is that we all start to use AI for its real benefits to make us more efficient, to get rid of the stuff that we don't really want to do anyways, and focus on the things that are important, such as conversations.
I love that and appreciate it. You've known me long enough to know that I can get scattered and swirling around in a typhoon of expression. And it can distract me from what I'm actually trying to say and distract others. You were talking about, the impulsive client. I can be like that, but I also have one that is so full of ideas, brilliant ideas. And it's like, hey, just do this. And there's always that just do. Can't you just do that?
Love
Like,
that
well,
word.
I can, but I need to know who is the audience? What are the goals? What are you hoping to happen next? After they see this thing, what do you want them to do next? And then after that, what will they get? And what's the rest of the story? It's like they don't want to think about that. They just, magically think this stuff happens. And it's learning how for me to frame my questions without being annoying. When I come up against those impulsive, brilliant people, because they can't help themselves. And I know it because I can be like that too, where I'm just like, here's a bunch of great ideas. And you help corral me. You help bring me into actionable plans in little bites rather than, there's this magical thing I want to do. Okay, let's go get the unicorns. And I think that I love AI because sometimes I will put one of my barf it out emails or documents with is basically a brain dump with a happy ending. I'll throw it into right now. I prefer Claude. I'm trying several of them, but I like Claude AI because I like the answers and the tone and how it listens to what I'm requesting in my prompts. Three prompts into five different things, and I get such different answers. So you guys all have to experiment with what works if you're wanting help with this. And I can put it in there and say, okay, now make it more compassionate. Now organize it. Are you, please tell me, alert me to what the clutter is, the redundancies, and it can help organize it for me so I can be understood. So I am not wasting the time of the person receiving the information, the request, the questions, the clarifying notes. And they aren't going, oh my gosh, she's making me crazy. And I can even say, limit it to five items of one sentence each. And I love that because I will just go, blah, blah, blah. They stop listening. They stop wanting to respond. They just tuck it away. It's like, I can't deal with that today. And we make no progress.
It's really good that you acknowledge that about your own communication style, and I wish more people would do that. But what you've just done is you've brought in AI and the second word in my frame, focus, follow through, the focus. You used AI to help you focus because you're self-aware enough to know that maybe you were bouncing around. It also teaches a method to learn how to focus. Most people have problems with focusing. I don't know how many people in today's world, it's awfully hard to focus, and that's why it needs to be intentional. And I see AI as being a tool that can help us be intentional on that focus, because AI will actually ask you if it doesn't understand or if it wants more clarification, it will ask you the questions, and then you realize, oh yeah, that was a good question. I
Depend on
should.
the tool. Depend on the tool you choose for that.
Depending on the tool. Absolutely. And I love the fact that you said you're experimenting, because that is definitely what everybody should be doing, is experimenting and trying things out for their own style. You like Claude. Perplexity has been great for me. I am also using ChatGPT. All of those generative, I guess you call them generative AI tools, are infused into a lot of our software now. Our intelligently automated software. Anyways, not to get off on a tangent, let's focus on this. But focus is very difficult, and I think that that's why I liked having that element as the sandwich piece in my frame, focus, and follow through. Because from the focus section of it, if you get off focus or out of focus, you can go back to your frame, and that can help orient you back. It's a point of reference. If you are having problems with the focus, maybe you check out into your follow through and say, okay, in order to follow through, what do I need to get done in this focus segment of my process?
Right.
So focus is difficult. It's very hard for a lot of people. Some people with ADHD, you hear a lot of people with that situation. It's not abnormal.
Right.
And so intentional focus on focus, if I might say, if that becomes part of your normal routine, I don't think it can hurt you, that's for sure.
I don't either. And I also, I was meeting with, I use a naturopath, and so we talk about my lack of focus sometimes and the things I need to do to work on that. And she admitted too, she said sometimes ADHD, it can present those symptoms in people, and it really isn't that, it's stress. You lose the ability to focus and things, and then the first thing everybody wants to do is medicate it. But some of it is really, you're so stressed. And so she challenged me this week. She says, 2 or 3 o'clock, I want you out walking for a half hour or doing something lovely, gardening, making a blanket, praying, having water, because 3 o'clock is when we dip and we get dehydrated. And she said, and let me know if you can put in then another 3 hours of work or 2 hours, but take that break. And she says, let's see. She says, you're welcome to have medication if you want, but let's see if you can do it without. Let's see if you can just focus by giving yourself a break to disengage. To
And that is being really, really intentional. With her support, you probably knew that without her telling you that that's what, experiencing some stress in your life. You didn't need somebody to tell you that, but she did help bring that out in your conversation. And then having this intentional focus, it takes discipline, Susan.
It
And we
does.
all have it somewhere deep inside of us, but sometimes we have to, look to our support team or look whoever and apply that discipline. But yeah, intentional focus. And I am all about, I love folk. I focus to a fault,
I
unfortunately.
know.
So sometimes it's hard for me to relate to why can't you just focus on that? Because I will focus for hours on end on very specific things. And maybe that's, we're all on the spectrum someplace, right? So that could have something to do with that. But
I've told Jess Duell before that I actually schedule spontaneity on my calendar.
spontaneity is such a huge part of my whole frame, focus, and follow through thing. If you've got this really quick mantra, as I call it, to help you make something that was used to be difficult, like putting together a strategy, make it a whole lot easier. You are prepared for spontaneity. My favorite story about spontaneity is that one day I was going through my junk mail. I found a flyer for a local piano sale, used pianos. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just like to look at pianos. I just love pianos. And I've been to this annual sale before. I'd never bought anything before, but I knew that they were fun. So I thought, I'm going. And they were doing by appointment only. So I called and they said, what time do you want to show up? 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock of that day? And I was like, all right, 1 o'clock. And I went to that piano sale at 1 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock that afternoon, I had a baby grand piano sitting in my living room. Now,
That's spontaneous.
this is not to be confused with impulsiveness. This was spontaneous that I am still to this day. That was almost a year ago that happened, and I am still flying high on that experience. And it was totally spontaneous. And I don't consider myself totally a spontaneous person, but I was able to be spontaneous because the rest of my life is really, really organized. Frame, focus, and follow through is a big part of my organization and my life. And that allows me to have kind of like we just said, AI allows you to free up time to have what's important to you, like a conversation. The organization in my life allowed me to be able to pick up the phone, make that appointment, go within a couple hours, and then clear the rest of my day, basically, because I knew that piano was being, within a few hours, I knew that piano was being delivered that night. I couldn't believe they could deliver it that night. I didn't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I have meetings or I have some other stress point in my life because my life is fairly organized. And I have to admit, I don't have the usual stressors that a lot of people do. But, and I loved the fact that I was able to completely, there were so many things that could have kept me from doing that, but I got to be spontaneous. And then I realized I need to make more room in my life to be spontaneous like that. Because, like I said, it's been 11 months and I am still flying high on that spontaneous experience.
Okay, I want to distinguish though. We talk about the difference between being impulsive and spontaneous. Impulsive is, I mean, where you're not impulsive is the fact that you've been to that shop before, you've been to the sale before, you knew that at some point you would desire a piano, and you've been thinking about it. The impulse, your spontaneity came from not waiting a week to do it, but saying, I'm gonna, today's the day. And I know my pianos, I've been doing research, I know these things. And that is a difference. You have spontaneous elements in something that was very deliberate, very planned without a deadline. It was there.
Well, yeah, when you just said I had done my research, I knew what pianos I like, and that was my frame. That was my frame that was already in place because it was part of my lifestyle.
So you
So
followed through.
I had practiced the piano. I already own a piano and a keyboard, and I put in tons of hours learning. I knew I loved it, so I didn't feel impulsive. It wasn't going to be like I was going to have buyer's remorse. I knew I would not have buyer's remorse. As soon as I saw the piano that really made me want to cry, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to regret this at all. Yeah. But you're right. I had a plan, and it was a frame basically of what I wanted and how much I could afford, and did I deserve it, and will I value it? That was my frame. And all of those checked off. And so, boom, I could be spontaneous. And yes, some people would say that was impulsive, but no, you're right.
No,
It
it's
was
not. It
just
was
a frame.
just the spontaneity came from the moment you decided to do the follow through.
Yes.
That was the only spontaneous element of the whole thing. If people can think of this word picture, you know, of we have things as kids, we ha would have things. We'd pull things from catalogs. We would look at things. We would save up our money. We would go wash cars to, you know, do whatever we did because that's what we used to do. And then go buy that thing. You know, on that day, let's go today. You know, mom, are you going to the mall? I want to go because I can get that thing that I've been saving for, or I'm going to
Right.
order whatever it is. So it's that moment, that spontaneity comes in the moment of the follow-through, that flexibility too, to be able to not have to have it. It's on this day, it has to happen. Well, what if we have to move that out a little bit? What if it's in a month and oh my gosh, this opportunity came up and let's take advantage of it? I want to end this episode with frame focus follow through. How does that look for you? Where do you need help achieving those plans? Where do you need help sifting through the mire, the clutter, the disarray in your business to be able to get in this habit to quickly discern this doesn't fit in here. Okay, let's go back then a step. Let's go back one more. What do we need to look at? We've learned how to have these conversations. Debbie taught us how to have these conversations, the questions to ask. And it becomes part of your everyday business life, your company culture, learning how to check back to those things. So, everybody, I want you to make sure you do not miss anything in this series because the next one we're going to talk about is you can't manage what you can't measure. How do you know if it's working? Are you even tracking it? We're going to get into that, and it might not be what you're thinking. It isn't just about Google Analytics, guys. It isn't just about clicks and follow through and the buyer's journey. There's more to it. And we are going to talk about that in the next episode. Debbie Davis, I appreciate you, your time. How can people find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Debbie Davis. My website is 3DCommunicationsAI.com.
Okay, there we go.
I threw the AI in there because it's such a focus these days. 3DCommunicationsAI.com. And I think that's really all you need to know. You'll
You can go find her. And she's
connect with
Debbie,
me.
Debi. So you will find her. She is the beautiful brunette with the glasses. You will see her out there. And we will look forward to the next visit. Debbie, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Susan. You truly do bring out the best in me.
Oh, you're just a dear. Okay, thank you.
never miss an episode, check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out.